You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM.
Moving on, let's head over to Germany and talk about Continental. This is the automotive giant. You may have some of their tires on your car. Lockbit also claimed responsibility for a cyber attack against Continental, and here we are. And so this obviously is a huge, huge issue on top of this. The deadline for releasing that data from Continental has already passed. Since I was already on Lockbit's site looking at the Thales information, I went looking for Continental, and sure enough, Continental's information has also been published on Lockbit's site. A huge problem. Moving on, let's talk about TransUnion. Yes, the credit agency and competitor to Equifax, they just sent letters to consumers alerting them to a recent data breach that compromised a wide array of their personal and financial information. Now, on Monday, about a week ago, Monday or so from when you're listening to this, TransUnion reported this data breach to the Massachusetts Attorney General. We don't know how many people were involved, but this is great because if you've ever gotten a credit card or rent or a mortgage or a loan or anything like that, odds are TransUnion has your information, as it's one of those places that is commonly used for credit checks. That's another major problem. Moving on. Let's talk about Hartnell College. They just got hit with a ransomware attack. Now, they didn't say what kind of personal information was accessed, if it was students or staff or whatever. Basically, they're looking into this right now, but this is all we know. This happened on October 2nd, so this is a while ago. But if you have anything to do with Hartnell College, heads up. Moving on, let's talk about Apprentice Information Systems for my affiliates that are listening, basically listening on my affiliates in the state of Arkansas. Apprentice Information Systems is basically a computer services company that supports more than half of all of Arkansas's counties, basically half the state, and they got hit, and so now counties are starting to declare. So if you are in Ouachita County in Arkansas, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections, because they reported a third-party data breach that impacted 85,466 inmates who received off-site medical care during their incarceration between January of 2013 through July of this year. Now, this originated at Correct Care, a third-party health administrator under contract with the department to process medical claims. And on July 6th, Correct Care discovered that two of its file directories containing protected health information, quote, inadvertently exposed to the public internet. So heads up to you, if you've been incarcerated in Louisiana between January of 2013 and this year, you may be at some point when you're released, if you're listening to this in prison, entitled to compensation. And on and on and on. It's absolutely crazy this week. Let's talk about Camping World and Good Sam, because on November 7th, the CWGS group that owns Camping World and Good Sam, basically, they filed a report with the Massachusetts Attorney General after they confirmed they had an unauthorized party gain access to sensitive consumer information. Now, what we are talking about here are names, dates of birth, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, government ID, tax ID, financial account numbers, credit and debit cards, digital electronic signatures, usernames and passwords, et cetera, et cetera. So this is employees and consumers as well. So basically, if you have anything to do with Camping World or Good Sam or the CWGS group, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Salud Family Health. They reported a data breach in Montana after they learned that basically they got hit. And we're talking names, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, state IDs, card numbers, financial account information, credit card numbers, passport numbers, medical treatment and diagnosis information, health insurance information, biometric data, usernames and passwords. And basically, if you've ever looked at Salud Family Health or blinked at them, they've got that information. So heads up to you if you have been affected by them. Moving on. Let's talk about United Veterinary Care, because on November 3rd of this year, they reported a data breach with the Massachusetts Attorney General's office after the company discovered the personal computer information basically was compromised, or personal consumer information, excuse me, was compromised. And according to United Veterinary Care, the breach resulted in certain consumer names, social security numbers, and financial account information being compromised. Recently, they sent out data breach letters to all affected parties. So heads up, United Veterinary Care, customers or consumers. And finally, and we have two finalies for you here. Now, our deep dive is going to be on Twitter, but we need to talk about Twitter in terms of breaches of the week. And so I am going to talk about some things here that I will not cover, or I'll try not to cover in the deep dive, to make this dovetail as you, this will reinforce everything that I'm talking about in that segment. But here's what's going on. Elon Musk's turbulent Twitter takeover, and again, we'll discuss that in more depth in the next segment, is undercutting the platform's defenses while introducing new security risks, and cybersecurity experts fear users and the public will soon suffer consequences. Absolutely, I talk about that, I will be talking about that very soon. Now, between the now canceled rollout of their new checkmark policy, which they kind of brought back, and the exodus of top security staff, Twitter is quickly exposing itself to a deluge of new security risks that could soon basically ramify into the public sphere. And this is according to basically all of these cyber experts. And I'm going to talk about this, like I said, in more depth, but essentially, impersonating, various entities out there. I'm going to talk about that. And that's one of the biggest problems we have, because the checkmark is considered that trust thing. Now, Twitter is also fast becoming the Wild West, according to most experts as well. They have lost their top security professionals, their chief information security officer, chief privacy officer, chief compliance officer, the head of trust and safety, all resigned about a week ago, basically because of all of these schemes that Musk has. So this is going to be a huge thing. We are going to talk about this more in depth in the next segment when I deep dive in my segment entitled Why Twitter Will Die. Now, with that, we have one more finally for you. This is kind of dovetails with the election that we just went through, but this is an interesting one, because this is basically a Michigan-based firm called Konich. Now, here's what's going on, and I mentioned them a few radio shows back due to some of the woes that they have, but here's what's up. An abrupt reversal, Los Angeles County has dismissed the charges against their chief executive of basically Konich. This is an election software company, marking the end of a case that prominent election deniers cited as evidence of foul play in American elections. Now, Eugene Yu, the CEO of the Michigan-based firm Konich, was charged in mid-October with illegally storing the personal information of poll workers on Chinese servers, obviously a violation of its contract with LA County in California. Konich has provided its poll chief software to cities and counties across the country, including a $2.9 million contract with Los Angeles County. So this past Wednesday, or a week ago Wednesday, as you're listening to this, the district attorney's office said that it had moved to dismiss the case. The judge in LA Superior Court granted the motion without prejudice, meaning he can basically be retried, for this. Now, spokesperson for the county, Tiffany Blacknell, said in a statement, and I quote, "We are concerned about both the pace of the investigation and the potential bias in the presentation and investigation of the evidence." Now, the county did indicate that it hasn't ruled out refiling charges after reviewing the evidence, saying that it would assemble a new team with significant cybersecurity experience to determine whether any criminal activity occurred. Now, in October, the district attorney's office acknowledged to NPR, this is the publication that I'm cribbing this from, that the investigation began after a tip from Greg Phillips. Now, he's a prominent election denier associated with a controversial group known as True the Vote, which executive produced and provided the basis for the claims in the widely debunked film 2000 Mules. I basically have looked into this, and yes, this is so easy to debunk, but here we are. Now, Phillips has said that the group's interest in Konich was spurred in part by information provided by the followers of the far right wing conspiracy QAnon, and suggested this was part of a, quote, red Chinese communist uprun against the United States, end quote. Now, Konich and Yu have consistently denied the district attorney's charges, noting True the Vote's shabby affiliations and suggesting that basically xenophobia is a driving force behind this original probe. Yu immigrated to the United States from China in the 1980s and became an American citizen in 1997. Now, in September, Konich filed a lawsuit in federal court against True the Vote, quote, and alleged that the group had hacked Konich's data, defaming the company with a, quote, xenophobic smear campaign. Now, Yu's arrest and controversy surrounding basically Konich ahead of those November midterms alarmed the few voting offices across the country that were using Konich's software, worried how the arrest would impact voter confidence in a climate where election security is already the top concern for many. At least four jurisdictions stopped using Konich's software entirely. And so this is a very interesting situation that we have brewing here with Konich, in the sense that, you know, as you're looking through this, you've got basically a former Chinese national, now a U.S. citizen, essentially running this. If they were storing, or actually it was confirmed that they are storing, you know, poll worker data in China, that is a huge problem, because if it's stored in China, the Chinese government has access to it. That is a law in China that was basically passed in 2017 by the People's Communist Party. And so if Yu was actually doing that, or Konich was actually doing that, that is a massive, massive cybersecurity red flag. So I hope that LA really does hire cybersecurity and forensics experts that have the ability to look at these things and see if this actually happened, because if it did, that is a huge violation of US privacy, of election integrity, and all those different things. That's not to say that gave, let's say, the Chinese government or foreign intelligence access into voting machines to change vote totals or anything like that. But if they were able to get into poll workers' information or hack into poll workers, maybe they could run an intimidation campaign, gather information that they shouldn't be allowed to gather and all of that. But that would not have affected the vote total, because, again, we're not talking about Konich software on voting machines. This is more basically for management of poll workers and other things. So this is a huge thing. I'm going to keep on this. I think, or I predict, you know, and again, this is a prediction. My thought is they will try him again at some point. They are just waiting for more evidence. And right now they just don't have it. And if they can't find the evidence, they obviously won't pursue charges. So there you go. Those were your breaches of the week. It was just another crazy week. Thanks to everybody that helped me out there. And let's move on.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin.
And this week's deep dive is entitled Why Twitter Will Die. This is an article I wrote on November 9th. So think about all the things that have happened. Now, I'm sure you know that Twitter was recently purchased by Elon Musk. We'll talk about that. Obviously, it's been in the news all the time, but I think that this platform is going to die. And hear me out here, because what I'm going to basically do is go down my article, because there are points there that I think that everybody is going to miss and not really understand why this is going. Not to mention, I'm going to basically update you on some of the latest news here. This is a huge problem, but Twitter is going away, and here's why. Now, when it comes to Twitter, I've always said of the platform that basically Twitter is where civility goes to die. And I have yet, for the record, to find anybody that disagrees with that assertion. Now, it appears that the platform itself is going to die. And hear me out. Like I said, hear me out. Its impending demise is obviously one part Elon Musk. However, it's also many other parts that Elon Musk now has a say over. And to be clear, Twitter itself could live on for years as a website and an app that people can visit and use. But what will die were the intentions of well-minded people trying to make Twitter into something it could never be. That's a place for open, honest intelligence and rational discussion or debate. If Twitter was a horse, Musk honestly just shot it in the leg with a rather large gun. So, in that vein, let's start with Musk and why the vast majority of us are going to leave that site, ideally for greener pastures, I guess. And at this point, everybody knows, as I mentioned, Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion, and he seems to be blowing through that $44 billion and losing it pretty quickly. However, what many don't know is that there were some rather interesting things going on with this sale, both before and after this purchase. Now, prior to the sale, This rather large transaction almost ended up in court due to disputes. Musk's chief complaint was that Twitter was not being transparent with how many bots there are on the platform. Now, if you don't know what bots are, among other things, they are automated pieces of computer code that have a rather large hand in generating all of the disinformation that users digest regularly on the site. Many of these bots, and we are literally talking about millions of them, using fake Twitter accounts are being run, essentially owned and operated by foreign intelligence agencies. Russia, China, Iran, and other countries have been discovered sowing disinformation into the feeds of millions of Twitter users, whether it's false information about some aspect of the U.S. election that we're, I think we're all thrilled went very smoothly compared to what we were expecting, or the desire to create doubt in democracy in Hong Kong, which Twitter bots were all over, and on and on and on. These bots are at the center of it all and pushing out information that their masters want the world to consume. So when Musk started publicly speaking about transparency regarding the population of Twitter, this was actually good news at the time, according to the cybersecurity community. If we could get a peek at just how many bots there were doing whatever it is that they're doing on the platform, we could truly understand how the site performs in terms of information flow to real, actual users. Now, if we could understand the bot traffic and the AI or algorithms that promote or demote content to the real users, we had a serious chance of combating this avalanche of fake news that is helping to create these two realities that we find ourselves in today. And we all have probably that relative somewhere that believes that, you know, JFK Jr. is coming back or whatever it is. We all have somebody that is drinking some kind of Kool-Aid, and these bots are the ones that have been pushing it out in droves on Twitter and other platforms. But now that Musk owns Twitter, it's honestly in his best interest to not tell us anything regarding bots, and here's why. Investors and advertisers are nervous due to all the shakeups that Musk has planned or he's already executed. We'll talk about those. On top of that, though, users have been leaving, not a huge mass exodus, but they've been leaving and looking for other platforms to adopt. Now, to stem that tide, Musk wrote an open letter to advertisers, meaning those companies that actually generate the actual cash that Twitter makes, saying how he wants to bring balance to social media and have Twitter be this fair and open town hall. And that may be well and good, but he is basically going to turn off a ton of people with this, even though everybody agrees it's a great premise in theory. And here's a few specific points on that, because I think this is the crux of what it is. Now, think about it this way. You can't have a town hall, meaning rational discourse, if the extremists are the loudest in the room and the algorithms are prioritizing their traffic. Studies have shown that anger and extremism generate the most traffic, so it's in Twitter's best interest to have their AI continue to prioritize those posts. Facebook, for example, was caught doing this. And if we had a look into Twitter's AI, pretty much nobody doubts that we wouldn't see anything different. Meaning Twitter is doing this as well. The loudest voices, the angriest voices in the room get the traction, get the follows, get the likes, get the retweets, whatever it is. Now, on top of this, and here's another point, at least here in the United States, we are politically polarized. Nobody would disagree with that. So if Musk is expecting healthy and polite debate like an actual town hall meeting, that is currently a pipe dream. There's no way that's going to happen at the moment. Now, the perfect example of this is the horrific Paul Pelosi attack. I'm sure you heard about this. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, her husband was home in San Francisco where they live. Somebody broke in. He was attacked with a hammer, et cetera, et cetera. Now, almost immediately, that day that broke, multiple conspiracy theories were already starting and swirling around about this attack. Musk himself, on that very day, tweeted demonstrably false information regarding this attack. And despite how these conspiracy theories, have been debunked by the FBI's written Miranda interview, they live on today in no small part because much of Musk's 100 million plus followers are not going to take the time to actually fact check the allegations. If Musk is seen as a trusted source on Twitter because of who he is, then he's breaking with his statements of wanting rational discourse. The rest of us will then see him more as the instigator in chief than anything else. And that's exactly what happened. There was a rumor that was put out by a local Fox affiliate that was taken and blown up by a newspaper, or I shouldn't say newspaper, a publication in California that has known for basically publishing repeatedly and demonstrably false information. Musk said, there must be more to this, posted that. That was later retracted by that local Fox affiliate as being demonstrably false. And here we are. And so this conspiracy theory continues to live on today. I see it still when Paul Pelosi is talked about. Oh, well, it must have been his boyfriend from Grindr or whatever it is, when that is demonstrably false. So if he is basically putting these things out there, he meaning Musk, that's a huge problem. Now, on top of this, and this is another point, is that Musk fancies himself, and he calls himself, a free speech absolutist. Now, few of us really think that this is going to be true, and he really will let Twitter devolve into a horrendous platform like Gab. Gab, if you don't know, is a social media haven for neo-Nazis, the Klan, and other upstanding members of the asinine white extremist community. If he is going to let that devolve, then the calm and rational users are going to leave, and all that's going to be left are the ones that are looking for a fight of some kind. Now, I sign up for all social media platforms when I hear about them, and within days of signing up for Gab, I had a Gab account. I was invited, I kid you not, I was invited to a neo-Nazi rally in upstate New York, and so I immediately closed my account there. Does anybody want those invites regularly on Twitter? I'm all for free speech, but understand that the consequence of absolutism is inevitably division. Musk will find that out very quickly if he decides to go that route. Now, on top of this, Musk has also killed the board of directors. The current CEO and CFO are now gone, not to mention other top-tier security professionals. They're C-level security and cybersecurity professionals. And now he says, or said, I should say, he's going to be the sole director and the, quote, Twitter complaint hotline operator, end quote, as well. And so what happens when he gets bored with Twitter and moves on to something else? The man has got more money than he knows what to do with, and so here we are. He's already losing that top talent because Twitter employees were quitting over what they saw as the hard work they've done into things like content moderation, simply being blown away by the stroke of a pen, meaning him signing the contract to buy the company, and then allowing life banned people like the former president, President Trump, back onto the platform, which is expected to happen soon. Everybody can agree that Trump is a polarizing figure, whether you love him or hate him. And oftentimes he is the loudest voice in the room. So you might love him, you might hate him, but understand this is what we are talking about here. Outside of the top talent that quit of their own volition, thousands of employees were just terminated in what can only be called a purge. Now, I understand CEOs are always looking to streamline efficiency, though how on earth could Twitter executives, what's left of Twitter executives, review almost 4,000 resumes and performance statistics to make informed decisions in such a short period of time? The lawsuits have already started by terminated employees. Some terminated employees say that they were emailed like within 24 to 48 hours saying, oh, we didn't mean to fire you. Come on back. You have a job. But I think the final nail in the coffin, though, is the charging of the $8 fee to keep that blue checkmark verification on accounts. This is tantamount, essentially, to overcharging people that bring you business. Now, think about it this way. Think about it this way. If Brad Pitt were to suddenly start using a product that I sold while telling the world that he loved it and a ton of his fans were now my customers, I would be buying Brad Pitt like the nicest gift you can possibly think of. That dude would get a Ferrari from me or something like that. I would not send him a bill. Why would I say, thank you, Brad Pitt, for sending me millions of customers? Now, here's a bill for more than what everybody else is charging when you normally would just be charged. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. If those celebrities, those top tier people leave and move on to, God forbid, TikTok, then Twitter is going to be a ghost town of just extremists yelling at other extremists. Now, on top of that, offering this blue checkmark for sale is a cybersecurity nightmare. What's stopping the deep pockets of a foreign government from simply buying a ton of $8 verified accounts and then pumping out whatever they want on those accounts? The one thing the blue checkmark does on Twitter is create trust that basically whomever you're seeing, you know that they are who they say they are. This ensures that the message from, let's say, a well-known person is actually from a well-known person and not some fake account. Depending on the vetting process, which we now know is none, this could let a plethora of bots be trusted onto the general platform. And if that happens, the disinformation will be so pervasive, we may never have a chance to recover. And we have now seen in the aftermath, because when I wrote this on November 9th, the blue checkmark system for $8 came online and anybody with $8 could get a blue checkmark. And we saw some insanely hilarious things happen. So Jesus Christ, an account literally called Jesus or Jesus Christ, at Jesus Christ, has a blue check mark, basically meaning this is the official account of Jesus. On top of that, other people made spoof accounts for famous athletes like LeBron James and then started making crazy statements like, oh yes, I'm being traded from one team to the other, which caused a stir. We saw a fake Eli Lilly account. This is the large pharmaceutical corporation, basically a fake Eli Lilly with a blue check mark that said, we are proud to announce that insulin is now free from Eli Lilly. That tanked their stock. That made their executives, I kid you not, basically call frantically over to Twitter trying to get these things taken down. Because now if you're looking at that and you're saying, oh my gosh, Eli Lilly, there's the blue check mark. This is confirmed. I now get my insulin for free. Insulin is expensive here in the United States. This is what we are talking about. This has been chaos. There has been no vetting. And Elon Musk, in order to basically stem that, then put a separate gray check mark under the official account. So if I'm LeBron James or Eli Lilly or, you know, whoever, not Jesus, obviously, and I am that, I now have a blue check mark with a gray one. But if you're not paying attention to that, any LeBron James or Eli Lilly or even fake Elon Musk accounts were going around that they started suspending are there. And they have been trying to suspend this, but they have not been able to keep up.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A ESP. Again, that's Nick A ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.